Tuesday, the 18th of October, Valery Lee recording an interview with Mr. Kadansky.
Battery, the actual.
Mr. Kadansky, do you mind telling me where you were born, when?
Yes, so I was born in Poland, in the city called Krakow, in 1919. It's 14/10/1919.
Oh, it was your birthday last week.
Yes, it was my birthday last week, yes. So, I was born in Krakow. Krakow is one of the main Polish historical cities. It was the capital city when the Poland was born. That was many centuries ago, and it is until today, is after Warsaw, is the main historical cities. In actual fact, it would be the oldest historical cities, and that's where I was born, in 1919.
Can you tell me a bit about your mother and father?
Well, my mother and father came from another city, which was about 50 miles away from Krakow. They were born in the village near a bigger city, which was there, called Rzeszów. It's spelled R-Z-E-W-O-W. And today, this city is quite a big city in Poland. It is turned into industrial city. But at that time, when my parents were born and lived there, they came from the families which were working on the land. And when they were born, that was the Austrian Empire, because Poland was occupied by Austria in 17th and 18th century, and divided into Russia, Prussia and Austria. And Krakow was in the south of Poland and was within the Austrian Empire. And they, in actual fact, my parents were born in that part of Poland which was occupied by Austria. And well, their parents, my grandparents, were working on the land. And they had big families. For example, in my father's family, there were two grandmothers and 19 children. And my mother's family was 12 children. And that was the reason for this, was that they wanted to have families to work on the land. And of course, when my mother was married with my father, who lived in that same village, they went to Krakow to live. It was one of the biggest cities then. And my father went to Krakow to work in the police. And it was Austrian police. And they lived there until they died. And I was born in Krakow because my parents were living in Krakow.
Did you have any brothers or sisters?
In my family there were 5 children. There were 3 brothers, 2 brothers, I was there, and 2 sisters. But unfortunately, after the Second World War, there were only myself and my sister, because the others, it was myself, my older brother and my sister, and at the present it's my sister and myself, because others died, you know. And of course they had terrible experiences during the war when Germans came and occupied Poland. And my oldest brother was very active politically and otherwise, always. and he was one of the organizers of Underground in Poland. And as it happened, the German discovered this somehow and then arrested all my family, mother, father, my brother, my one brother. But the brother that they were looking for escaped. But otherwise, they arrested my parents, they wanted from my sister, and my, parents and my younger sister. And then my older brother. And they were, Gestapo kept them for some time in Krakow, in the arrest. They wanted to find out where is the oldest brother, which is the chief organizer of the Underground. And apart from that, he was publishing leaflets and just distributing them in Krakow amongst people, because they were listening to radio from London, because it was the Polish government in London, and they were listening to this and then writing the leaflets and distributing to tell people what happens outside Poland. And they wanted to catch him, you know. My father, my sister, and my parents, and my brother, second brother, they were kept by Gestapo for several weeks. They wanted to know where was the brother, the organizer, but they wouldn't tell them. So of course they were beating them, this sort of thing, and for some reason or other, my middle brother, so to speak, who was three of us, was sent to concentration camp, to Auschwitz. That was in 1941. And they released the others to go home. But I was at that time, I was in Hungary, because when the war broke out, I was obliged to go to the army, although I was 19 then. But this was the sort of system in Poland that you could go early to serve in the army. So I served in the army when I was 18 to 19, from 17 to 18. From 1937 to 1938, I was in the officer school for 1 year. Then, from 1938 to 1939, was 1 year in Krakow University, in medical department, which was connected with physical training department, so that I would be a specialist in sport as a doctor. But then, of course, in 1939, the war broke out. I had to go into the army, and then I took part in the battles in the south of Poland within that particular unit where I was conscripted to. And then, of course, when the war started and the Germans pushed forward, because they were much stronger than the Polish army, so we withdrew towards the east. And of course, we were to create the defense line somewhere in the middle of Poland. That was the plan. But on the 17th of September, Soviet Union hit back from the other side, but they were in cooperation with Germans. You know, it was a so-called Ribbentrop-Molotov Pact, which was 18th of September, August, 18 August, in Moscow. So Stalin and Hitler agreed that Hitler will attack Poland first, and then Soviet Union will join and hit us from the other side. And that will happen when we are withdrawing on the new lines, before the Germans with tanks moving forward. But I was lucky in that sense, in that unit, which where I was serving, that we were near Hungarian border. And Hungarians were very friendly with Poland, and they opened the border, and when Soviets entered from the other side, and we were in between, so we were lucky, we were near Hungarian border. So we could cross Hungarian border, and Hungarians accepted us and put us in the intent camps. But they had to do it, you know, because they were scared of Germans. And they treated us extremely well. We were there, if there was no internment, they gave us very good, they fed us very well. We were in camps, surrounded by wires and so on, and troops. But at the same time, they fed us very well. They gave us freedom. We could listen to radios, what happens in the other part of Europe. We could organize various committees, sports, lectures. And in addition to that, we, in Polish uniforms, we could go anywhere. For example, our camp was near Esztergom. There's a historical city in Hungary called Esztergom. And our camp was near Esztergom. So although the soldier was surrounding us, we could go to Esztergom any day and walk around the city and go to the shops. And apart from that, they were paying us a lot of money. You know, as if we were in the Polish army. So we had money called pengos. We could go to the restaurant, we could buy for ourselves things. We were never hungry. They gave us very good food, 3 days, 3 times a day. So what I wanted to say, although officially there were soldiers around the camp, behind the wires, but the door was always open for us to go and even stay there for a day, to go to Esztergom, which is a beautiful city, like York. And there was, the life was normal, the ships were normal, and so on. And so I'm just saying this because I think maybe we should underline this, that Hungarians were so good to us. But then, of course, at the same time, there was a Polish consulate still functioning in Budapest, despite of Poland being occupied by Germans. And Hungarians were just allowing this. It was the Admiral Horthy who was then the leader of Hungary. And, they just allowed us everything. They paid us money. We were getting money. So, in any case, I decided to, because that was already organized in any case, I decided to, as others, escape from this camp to Budapest and don't go to Polish consulate. And the Polish consulate was turning into sort of office. He was sending us to France to join the Polish army in France. You see? So, and what the funny thing was, and in the same building on the other side of the corridor was a German consulate. And the Polish consulate is next door to them, you see, and, well, they didn't, I don't know how it all worked, but the Germans knew exactly what this Polish consulate was doing. We were coming in soldiers' uniforms to Budapest, the Polish uniform. They went to the consulate, and the consulate were giving us civilian clothes. And then they were giving men money to live on, places to live in Budapest. And we had quite a lot of money. We could go to restaurants, you know, and just walk around Budapest. Everything was okay. So that was happening. And I went to Polish consulate and then told me where I was to live with some civilians. It was quite a nice place in Budapest itself. And then, of course, we were waiting for next opportunity to be sent to France, because that was another problem. That was organized between Polish government, French government, and British government, all in secrecy. And I was there for a few days in that consulate. I mean, view the prison. By chance, I had somebody, a friend of mine, who worked there in the consulate. He was a footballer, a very good footballer. And I was a footballer. And when he saw me, when I came, he saw, very good you came. I said, why? He said, because we have a Polish team here, Polish football team. And do you want to play in this team? So I said, okay, if I may. So he took me to the man who was in charge of the consulate, who was in Poland, the chairman of the very well-known football club. And he came with the whole club from Poland to Hungary, and he was appointed to run this consulate department. He was sending us, these soldiers who were interned, to France to join Polish army. You know, that was the idea. And I said, I'll be very pleased to be here, and they kept me. And they included me into this team, which was a very good team, because almost the whole team of first division crossed the border. And their leader was the man who was in charge of the Polish consulate. So we work as officials there, and making the false documents to people who were escaping to France. And at the same time, we're playing football with Hungarian teams, you know. And I was in that team, with this team, and had this good life. We get money every month, and beautiful rooms to live in. And of course, we were working during the day to falsify documents or passports for this Poles who escaped from internment camps, which were all organized with the help of British and French consulates and governments, because they were giving money for this. And then, of course, Germany attacked France. That was somewhere in April 1940. And of course, when this happened, and of course, our Polish consulate was informing us what was happening on the front. It was quite obvious that France was beaten and will collapse soon, because Germans already approached Paris. And it was quite obvious when France falls, then Germans will arrest all of us and all these people who were on the intent comes, you know. And of course, then there was a decision that we had to escape to Yugoslavia. But we were doing the false documents, so we made false documents for ourselves. We had all transport and everything. And we escaped to Yugoslavia through the border. Of course, we were on foot at night with special people who were guides, you know, they paid guides, they knew the routes and things like that. And I remember they were sending groups of 100. And we gathered at the top of the mountains, which was between Hungary and Yugoslavia. And there were 100 of us marched up the hill like that to the woods. And about 6 o'clock in the morning, we were on the other side, and we were in Yugoslavia. And of course, when we got to Yugoslavia, everything was organized again. The coaches were waiting for us, because Yugoslavia was independent of Germany. And they sent us to Zagreb, and in Zagreb they put us in the MS school. There was a building, big building, which was a school, but at that time that was the summertime, you know, so there were no children there. And we were just living there. And the Polish consulate still worked in Yugoslavia. They were giving us pocket money and they were feeding us. And then, of course, they sent us to Polish brigade in Palestine, which is under British command. So there was already Polish brigade under British command being organized in Palestine then. But previously they were in Syria, which was under French. There was a French colony or something. But when France collapsed and surrendered to Germans, Polish troops from Syria, which were under France, were just by force, they wouldn't agree, they'd cross the border and join British army in Egypt. That was in Palestine then. Because French just surrendered to German everywhere, in France and in colonies. And they wanted us to do it. And we said, no, if you want to fight with us, we fight with you. And they were scared, you know, French in Syria. And with the whole army brigade from Syria, crossed over, went to Palestine to be under British command. But I wasn't in this, but I already came to Palestine. And of course, in Haifa, there's a port there, Haifa, there was already the small Polish council with officials, Polish officers and so on. They accepted us and took all documents from us and then gave our uniform and say, you are in the Polish brigade, you know. And that's how I became the soldier or officer of the Polish Carpathian Brigade. We call ourselves Polish Carpathian Brigade. And the name was before Poland had the mountains in the south called Carpathians. And the idea was we should return to Poland, to Carpathia, as we are escaping through Carpathia. So I joined this Polish brigade, Polish Carpathian Brigade. I mean, I was told I had to, and I wanted to, of course. I was officer cadet, or whatever you call it, because I finished officer school in Poland, officer school. So I had some, I was this rank, you know, officer cadet, and I was attached to the machine guns, heavy machine guns unit that was in Palestine.
So when did you come to England?
I came to England after the war, in 1945.
So you didn't actually come to England during the war?
Oh, no, no, because, you know, there was a British army, 8th Army, in Africa.
Yeah.
So they attached us to British 8th Army. So once we were trained as a brigade, we were sent to Tobruk, to defend Tobruk, because then German Italians occupied Northern Africa, Libya and so on, but Tobruk as a port were defending themselves, but they couldn't capture it. And of course, when Polish brigades were organized in Palestine, and then they sent us to Egypt, and we got British arms and uniforms and everything, when we were within British 8th Army, so then when we were ready to go, they said, you'll go to Tobruk to help British and Australians to defend Tobruk, because Italians occupied that part of coast, you know, or Libya, that was Libya then, but they couldn't get into Tobruk because it was defended by British, mainly Australians. And our brigade was sent to reinforce Australian troops who were defending this perimeter. So we went back to the sea, and there was a perimeter which we were defending, and around were Italian arms and mostly Germans, but mainly Italians. And we went by ships at night from Alexandria to Tobruk, at night in Tobruk, and we were given a line to defend. And I was amongst them. I was in the anti-aircraft machine guns. And we were there in Tobruk for some time, a few months. And then, of course, 8 army attack on the land. And Italians withdrew. So we were freed from. And then we joined 8 army and we pursued Italian troops. And we went in the western desert for about 8 months. And that the front was then static. It was a place called Gazala, where Italians were defending the Polish brigade to break this front, and I took part in this attack on Gazala, which is a well-known battle in Africa. And of course we were there, and then of course Polish brigade Palestine, because we were in the front for about a year, so we had to go back. And then of course there was 1942 when we went back to Palestine to organize ourselves into division, because in 1942 the Polish army was formed in Soviet Union under General Anders, we joined this Polish army from the Soviet Union, and they came to Palestine in the first place and then to Iraq, and we joined them. And in this way was formed Polish army under British command. So we were all trained again as a Polish army in Iraq. And of course there were the 2 divisions and 1 tank brigade. There were some. So we had 2 division and 1 tank brigade. That was our Polish corps. We call it 2nd Polish Corps under British command. That was British 8th Army, and we were the Polish 2nd Corps. And then I was then transferred from the infantry unit to a military police unit, because there was there's 1 military police, there was traffic control, you know, there was red caps. British units, they had these red caps, so we called them red caps. And they were just a unit which job was to guide the columns and organize the columns during the movement. It was a big job, like police here regulates the traffic. Yeah. So we were doing this traffic situation when the columns of brigades and divisions were marching in the land which nobody knew. Because there was so our job was to recognize the roads, just to examine the roads, and they put some signs and then run and just guide these columns towards the front. And that was the unit. They were a combination of military police and this traffic control, so to speak, to lead the units, divisions to the front, you know, with ammunition, with troops, with everything. And we had to recognize the roads, for example. They are safe. And anyhow, we did the same as British Red Caps, you know, and we had some bands here on arms and so on. And of course, that was with the Polish army, with the Polish corps in the midst of Iraq. That was in actual fact Iraq. And then we were sent to Italy when we were ready to fight. And there were 2 Polish divisions. I was in Polish 3rd Division, Polish 3rd Carpathian Division. And we went to Taranto, and from Taranto we went then to the Italian front. And of course I was within that unit which was the traffic control, so to speak. And we were running just guiding the army to the front at night, and a very difficult, complicated, responsible job. Because, you know, you had this sort of brigade or some units had to be transferred from one part of front to the other at night. We didn't know the roads, so we had to examine these roads. And we were then motorbikes and jeeps.